Did you know that TMS is brought to you primarily by you? Yes, you! Go to patreon.com/TMS and support us now. Even a little tiny bit a month goes a huge way to helping the show stay strong and healthy. That's patreon.com/TMS. And thanks to everybody who supported us. Coming up on TMS, are you not entertained?
Lucas admits he's bad at dialogue.
Yeah, he is. Mitch is all in for more X-Files.
I'll fix your back for trade.
Kentucky man arrested for drunk horse riding.
Fitness geek.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Okay, I'm ready. Now, what's the question?
Well, this is Total Raisin Bran. It has 4 times the vitamin nutrition of your Raisin Bran.
4 times?
And it tastes better than your Raisin Bran.
Great! Now, what's the question?
Well, can you think of one reason why you wouldn't buy Total Raisin Bran?
4 times the nutrition? I think I should buy Total Raisin Bran. What do you think?
I think you've made a wise decision.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. My name is not important, but what I'm about to say is very important.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
As the man around here, you can quote me on this. Is The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. That's a throwback right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Been a long time.
Yeah, you can quote me on that. What was that from?
It was an old commercial where some 50s era man of the house bullcrap.
Right.
Where the woman better be in the house making food while I'm out earning the bacon or whatever crap. and Fletcher made a version of it, which is fantastic. It lives on.
Everything he touches turns to gold.
I agree. Except for gold. It just stays the same.
I know. Weird.
I know. Huh. Can't explain it. You can't explain that.
Whiskey.
Yeah, listen to this. Oh, man. I got something to share with you.
All right. Okay.
So, by the way, it's TMS, everybody. It's Brian. It's Scott.
Oh.
Yeah. Hi. April 21st, 2015. No more 420. Everyone's all hungover from all their pot use yesterday.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are. Yeah.
Have to be at this point.
Tristan didn't make as much in tips last night delivering subs as he was hoping.
Oh, really?
Although one guy gave him an $8 tip. So there's that.
Okay. Oh, delivering subs. That sounds good right now.
Oh, and there's some great subs.
Mm.
They, in my opinion, and not just because he works there, but they've got Jimmy John's beat, which is who I used to put at the top. Them and Blimpies.
Yeah, Blimpies is good. So is it a local joint? Like it's
it
not,
is.
Okay.
It's a little local franchise called Silvermine Subs.
Oh, that sounds really good to me.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Deliver one to Salt Lake City, no problem?
They will, but you'll pay.
Oh, all right. Well,
it's funny. They have a very loose delivery area.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah. They've done it's completely up to the driver, basically. Like, do we want to deliver to such and such? Yeah, I'll deliver. All right, good. But they better tip.
I like the small town places. I like to support them. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Well, So my evil plan to have Nick and I watch all of the Fast and the Furiouses from 4 to 6 before we saw the movie in the theater.
Oh, right, yeah.
It isn't working out because my daughter Taylor and her husband Dylan showed up last night to do laundry. And they said, hey, we should watch Gladiator. That's a movie we haven't seen in a while. And I said, oh, Gladiator. I like that. Sure. Okay. Is it streaming? Yes. All right. Great. Let's all sit down. We'll watch Gladiator while they do their laundry. So once again, Fast and Furious 4, whatever that was called. What was it called? Fast 4 Furious or some bullshit? Let's see.
Too Fast, Too Furious?
Was it? Or
is
was
that
2? I don't know. Or is 2 plus 2 equal 4? Fast and Furious...
Yeah, it'd be nice to know that.
4. I'm going to find out the actual title. Here we go. Fast and Furious, it's just called.
Was the fourth one?
Yeah, just Fast and Furious.
So not the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, just Fast and Furious.
So was Too Fast, Too Furious, was that seems like it would be the sequel, but then it would be like 2 sequels,
5
right?
was called Fast 5.
Okay.
6 was called Furious 6. 7 is called... Furious 7. So they've stuck with that naming convention.
Okay.
What was 3? Oh, 3 was the Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift, which I actually really liked. And 2 was Too Fast, Too Serious. Or Too Furious. too serious. Jeez, give me a
break.
Too
serious. Too fast, too serious.
Anyway, so we got bumped for Gladiator, which I haven't seen in a while. 2001's Gladiator, you know, big Oscar winner that year. Russell Crowe at his finest, perhaps. You know, all that. Your Ridley Scott deal, joint. Ridiculously over the top Howard Shore music. I think it was Howard Shore. Anyway, just it is. It's a movie that everyone remembers loving, and I'm here to report that it holds up. But I have some things to say about it.
Okay.
Totally holds up. It's fun. It's great to watch. Joaquin Phoenix plays the perfect douche. You know, you forget about how creepy he is in that thing. He's really good in it. Richard Harris is, you know, Dumbledore at the beginning there before he got smothered. All that stuff, right? So the movie's good. It's really good. Like, it's still... looks good, feels good, the battles look right, the subtle CGI to make the what's the thing called? The Colosseum look right. That all holds right up. The battles with the Germanians, that looks really cool still. Like, all that stuff looks great. Still very violent, still very, you know, you're excited, you're rooting for the dude. It's still very shocking when he goes home and finds his family the way he does and all that stuff, right? Totally holds up. Now, here's the problem, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that movie would win Best Picture and Best Actor today. Not a chance. There's
really?
No way. Oh, yeah. No way. No
just,
way in
just
hell.
Just bad acting? Like, bad?
No, I wouldn't say it's bad.
Not
it's
bad, just, but just like...
it's just average. It's just...
gotcha.
It's
compared
just an action movie.
Compared to today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that we're better at it today. I'm saying we get so caught up in the hype of whatever it is we're looking at that we... that it's not as good as we all freaking think it is. At the end of the day, it's just a movie and a guy doing lines and stuff. Like, there'll come a day, like, how do I put this? Go back and watch, I don't know. Rain Man's still really good, though. It's not a good example. But there's some movies you go back and look at the winning, or the winning movie. Like, let's say Forrest Gump, all right?
Sure.
A lot of people, or most people, think that either Pulp Fiction or Shawshank Redemption should have won a bunch of stuff that year instead of Forrest Gump winning all that stuff.
Yep.
But Forrest Gump had like this big momentum behind it and had like the crowd pleasing whatever. And
it was
so,
a feel good movie, no doubt.
Sure. So at the time,
the
it seemed
part,
like, yeah.
Jen A.
So for the most part, it seemed like that was a deserved thing because of the momentum behind it. But when the momentum leaves, you're left with, well, wait a minute, let's reevaluate this. It was a good movie, but is it the best movie? Was it the best acting? You know, like,
well, in that year, in the year of the 73rd Academy of Academy Awards, which honored films of 2001, Gladiator for Best Picture was up against Chocolat, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Aaron Brockovich, and Traffic.
So Traffic was the one that everyone, if you look back, would say that should have won.
Right. That the only thing Traffic won, I take that back. They won Best Director and it won Best Adapted Screenplay. So Steven Soderbergh did get Best Director for that.
And your Julia Roberts got the Aaron Brockovich nod.
She did. And Russell Crowe got Best Actor against Javier Bardem, Tom Hanks, Ed Harris, and Jeffrey Rush.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What was
a good lineup.
What was Tom Hanks playing? What was his deal that year?
It was Chuck Noland in Castaway that year.
Oh, yeah.
Wilson!
Like, there's another example of a movie that holds up but is kind of ridiculous. Like, we saw Castaway recently, and it's still
but
good,
it,
but, you
it
know.
Holds up more than some of these other movies in that era. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, as beautiful and as what seemed revolutionary at the time, it... I don't know. It seemed we saw it recently, and it just seems kind of not silly. I don't want to say silly because that really diminishes it. Yeah. But it doesn't seem as magical as it did at the time.
So of all the movies, so this is what I wanted to get to here. Of all the movies that were up this year and either won or kind of won or whatever.
Yeah.
Which one of those do you think has the least chance of looking good in 10 years?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. Let me pull up the list.
Yeah, let's pull up
because we have a lot more. Boy, we have a lot more to look at here. Where is the? There we go.
We got Birdman, Whiplash, The Great Grand Budapest Hotel, Boyhood, American Sniper, Imitation Game, Theory of Everything, and Selma. So obviously a serious batch here. We're not talking not
a
much of this.
A very serious batch, and nothing that really heavily relies on special effects. Where? I'm trying to pull up that list because I want to kind of look through them
I predict American Sniper will be the one that will age weird.
Really?
And I haven't even seen it. I'm basing this on the feelings about war and war-related stuff tend to fluctuate in society. And
sure.
when they fluctuate, they can go, they just swing different directions. And I think that movie appeals to a very specific demographic. And if that demographic swings at some point, then it's less appealing. I'm just saying, of all these, it has the biggest chance of
making people
go, well, what was the big deal?
Okay, well, look at something like Gravity, too, that relies very heavily on special effects. Do you think that one holds up in 10 years, 15 years?
I don't know. It feels so seamless that it doesn't feel like special effects. So
looking through all these, actually, I would think Boyhood would be the one that holds up
the least
worst
or the most
in 15 years.
Okay. Because in 15 years, does the hey, we filmed this over a decade and a half thing wear off and you're just left with
exactly the gimmick. You know, it's a great gimmick. And that movie rode heavily on that gimmick. It was great. It was, you know, it was charming and entertaining. Kid kind of grew up, you know, the character kind of grew up to be a little self-important douche, but I mean, you look at the other ones, like, we'll skip over Sniper for right now, but Grand Budapest Hotel, that fits in itself a very specific style that will always be that style, right? Wes Anderson's style. People will look back on that in 20 years and it'll be like, oh yeah, you know, there was that unique feel that his movies had.
It's like Scorsese with Goodfellas.
Right.
It'll always be his movie. It'll always look like his movie and it will never break out of whatever
space it's
in.
Even Tarantino's stuff. I mean, Tarantino's stuff, no matter how much he grows and gets more accolades and kind of does these more, not mainstream, but kind of these more, these less kitschy kind of movies, his style is still all throughout stuff like Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained.
Yeah.
And then you've got Selma, Theory of Everything, Imitation Game, which because they're biographies, I think they're kind of immune to that.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless the hairstyles go radically different and then people will be like, why were there two things? You know how that happens in like old, even period pieces, you'll see like an old thing about, you know, some king or something and you're like, why do they all have hair like 1978? Like that kind of stuff sometimes creeps up. You don't see it coming. So who knows? Right. But yeah, I agree with you. Those are dramas that should remain untouched. I agree with you. Now, here's the year that bugs me. 2004.
Okay. All right.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King wins that year, and it beats Mystic River, Lost in Translation, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, or however the hell long that thing was.
And another Russell Crowe joint,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and Seabiscuit.
Okay.
Freaking Seabiscuit. All right. Sometimes, though, I think that the one that holds up the longest term is the one that wins. And I'm not sure in, let's say, 20 years, Return of the King will look that great to us.
Mm. Yeah, it might not.
You know? Like,
might not.
Mystic River holds up as a thing in time. Lost in Translation is the weirdest thing ever. I think Master and Commander Far Side of the Whatever is amazing. I love that movie.
That's I don't think of all those. I don't think that's one I've seen.
You should totally see that. It's great. It's Peter Weir. He doesn't make bad movies. That guy makes nothing but good movies. Seabiscuit probably is poo. Now, I don't remember enough about it. I think Julia Roberts as the lead was great in Seabiscuit. She played a wonderful horse. But other than that, I think it probably doesn't hold up. But I just, you know, even these ones where we feel all geeky about it, like the Lord of the Rings, the original trilogy, we're just so stoked about it. I'm not sure they'll hold up down the road.
I think they're already starting to show their age a little bit in the fact of the Orlando Bloom skateboarding down a flight of stairs running across they're not elephants. What are they called? They're
Ollie Fants, whatever
they're called. And basically like riding, sliding down on the trunk like he's Fred Flintstone all of a sudden or something. I think that's the stuff that doesn't hold up. That's the stuff that you look at in a few years and go, wow, this was an Academy Award winner.
It's strange to have a movie just a year old amplify that by having him run up those steps and remind you that
the falling stairs. Yeah,
it's so dumb. Like the elephant thing. Do that once. Just don't ever do that again.
Right.
You don't have to do that because the more times you do it, the more you realize, well, Clark Kent over here, freaking Superman Legolas, he can do anything he wants to do. Why are we even fighting this fight? Let him just defy gravity and destroy everybody. It's ridiculous. But anyway, it just made me all thinky last night watching Gladiator.
Got you all thinky, did it?
Yeah, and it's not to say Gladiator does not hold up, and it's an incredible film. It's a great movie. No question about it. I'd see it 100 times more. I just don't think it wins any of those awards in 2015. And maybe it's because it was at the time groundbreaking or something. And now this seems like old news because there's plenty of epic historical things with lots of action and whatever. So maybe that's why, but it's whatever. It's still good. So on streaming now. Check it out. Early recommendal. It's only Tuesday.
Wow. Look at that.
How you like that, everybody?
24 hours early. Actually, apparently I enjoyed it enough to buy the DVD, and I don't think I've watched the DVD since I bought it. So
oh, really? Wow.
Back in 2000, yeah. So I think I better probably should dig that out and actually watch it.
My recollection of the extras on there is that they're very good.
I'll have to look at those too.
Yeah.
There was a run there where it seemed like I was just buying DVDs like I was working for Columbia House or something, you know?
Did you have one of those DVD clubs or was it just you buying DVDs?
It was just me buying it because I'm looking at the stuff from that year and I think I had, now I've lost the page. Here we go. 76th Academy Awards. That was 76 was the other one. Let me pull up the other one that we were looking at. 74th was the 2004. Oh, I'm lost. I'm lost all of a sudden.
Just search for year. Just do year.
There it is. There we go. Yeah, I owned Gladiator, Crouching Tiger, and Traffic on DVD. So three of the five nominees from that year. For some reason, I thought, I'm going to want to watch these over and over again.
Yeah. Well, it was hard to tell in 2001 where the future was headed. You know, we didn't know about all this streaming stuff and, you know, files and whatnot, downloads.
I didn't buy Erin Brockovich. Oh, I did buy Almost Famous. There was some supporting actress nominees for that.
Yeah.
What else did I buy? It's really funny, actually. Sad, maybe.
Yeah. I still do this occasionally at Walmart. Like, you know, some dollar bin piece of crap will show up, and I'll do that. But depends on my mood. Ooh, speaking of moods.
Yeah.
We're in the mood for Star Trek. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by.
Here at CamcorderTV.com, we strive to achieve excellence in the art of filmmaking as well as the science of audio engineering, which is big fancy talk that means our videos and podcast shows are friggin' awesome. Looking for a new, fresh online network? Log on to CamcorderTV.com. We have 4 podcast shows, 5 web shows, and monthly short films. Watch, enjoy, and subscribe to CamcorderTV.com. CamcorderTV.com, humble beginnings, big ideas.
Mm. I've heard that podcast shows are back. They're back.
Buck, they're back. Thanks to that cereal. Thanks for that Rob has a podcast, fella.
Yeah, that guy right there.
You know, when I hear CamcorderTV.com, I'm visualizing.
Yeah.
Those YouTube videos where somebody's watching Wheel of Fortune and the contestant makes a big mistake. And so they grab their camcorder and they film the TV. They rewind and then they film the TV.
Yeah, I love that. There's the future. You want to talk about the future. That's it.
That's the future right there.
Daryl, hi. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful.
You sound really chipper
today.
You
do sound wonderful.
Yeah, what's up with that? Yeah. You usually get a little grumpy in the morning.
I made a terrible mocha that just is terrible, and there's like twice as much sugar as I would ever put in one, and I was trying to not have sugar, so now I'm all sugary.
Did Carol bring in donuts today, by the way?
Oh, Carol with the donuts again. We just love her over there in accounting. Well, it's good to have you here. It's Stump a Trek Nerd time. It's time to stump you. Now, before we do, I have something to play that is from a listener, and it's an interesting idea. I'm just going to play it. Let's see what he says.
Just want to make a suggestion. Maybe we could do a week of Stump a Mash Nerd. I've been definitely enjoying the Netflix stuff. Just thought. Bye.
All right. So,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, Stump a Mash Nerd. Now, Daryl's been watching MASH.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got it fresh. I think it would be fun next week, in fact, to do an entire week of MASH trivia questions.
I like that. And I wish there was a way we could do it where you and I could play along too, because you've watched them recently. I haven't watched them since, you know, the early days, probably a lot of syndication stuff, but still it's been a while.
Still, you retain that stuff though. I'll bet it would be, mm-hmm. I bet we could do it. They won't all be, was the chicken a baby or a chicken?
I was going to use that as my joke too. The chicken was A, a baby, B, a banana, C,
a chicken,
Elliot Gould, or D, radar, Great Caesar's ghost.
So I think we're going to do that. Now, maybe there is a way to do that. So I will put it, since Mike writes these questions, Mike, why don't you come up with an idea that might mean that we all could do it? Yeah. I don't know what that will be, but I think that'd be fun. Just do one week off, you know, do a little MASH trivia. I think that sounds like fun. I don't know what music I'll use, but I'll come up with something.
Cool.
And if I don't have music, I could just loop this sound over and over, which is that. Just over and over.
See if we can get Andrew Allen on a whim to record a jazz version of the MASH theme.
Was the chicken a baby? A chicken? Daryl's anus? Yeah, we just do it like that the whole time.
And then D is...
Yeah.
Doody doody doo.
All right, well, nonetheless...
A new one has popped up on season 2 now.
Uh-oh.
It's some guy that just says, what?
Really?
Yes, I have to capture that one now.
You got to get it, dude. That's hilarious. Do it again. Do it. That's funny to me.
I cannot wait to hear this.
That is really funny.
And I've heard that before on Gilligan's Island and Brady Bunch and all kinds of stuff.
So you think of this a multi-use one where they've passed it around. Yeah, a lot of that stuff was back in the day. I had a big conversation on Twitter this morning about what the difference between a sitcom is and a regular comedy. What's a situation comedy versus a comedy? And nobody can give me a good answer. I think it's bullcrap.
Like, aren't sitcoms self-contained episodes? In other words, like there's not some overreaching comedy thing like, what's a good example?
You mean like an ongoing story kind of thing?
Yeah.
It's well, like I mean, a even
procedural comedy, right? Isn't that
a procedural comedy? A pro-com. Listen, let's take Seinfeld. You could say, well, that's a sitcom, and I would agree by traditional my own thinking is that that's a sitcom. It's got a laugh track. There,
right.
You know, a studio audience. There's three cameras most of the time. That kind of stuff. But then, if it's only that, there are continuing things.
There was the whole, you know, George getting married plot line that went through.
That kept going. Him working for the Yankees, that kept going. Like,
let's see here. If there's a genre of comedy that features characters sharing the same common environment, such as a home or workplace, often with humorous dialogue, such programs originate in radio. Okay, so maybe it's more that sitcoms are the self-contained story in the way that, like, Laugh-In was a comedy, but not a sitcom.
Yeah, well, that one you'd call variety show,
the
right?
The State. Right, exactly. The State would be a comedy variety as opposed to sitcom.
True, but if you... So what is Scrubs? Is Scrubs a sitcom?
Scrubs would be a sitcom because it takes place in the same environment.
So it's got nothing to do with the laugh track or the camera method or any of that. All right.
Yeah. So here we go. As opposed to stand-up comedy and sketch comedy, a situation comedy is a storyline and ongoing characters in, essentially, a comedic narrative. The situation is often composed of comedic sequences set within a family, workplace, or among a group of friends.
Okay. I think that friends part leans a little hard on NBC, but still.
And it must be seen on Thursday nights.
In fact, you could call it must-see TV. Great. All right, Daryl, what are we doing?
Doody doody doo.
Oh, yeah. It's time for your question. You ready for this? Here you go. Yeah. What episode of the original series of Star Trek did this clip come from? Okay, I'm going to play it. Here you go.
At her age, I rather enjoyed eras with no noticeable damage. But I must admit, you're the farthest thing from a bookworm I've ever seen.
All right. That's all I'm playing it for.
Oh, that should be easy.
You think so?
Should be.
But it's not.
Well, let's find out. Your possible answers are Alan or Elaine or whatever of Troyes. Troyes.
No, it's not that.
Requiem for Methuselah.
Maybe.
The Alternative Factor.
No.
Return to Tomorrow.
Maybe.
Well, all right. Sounds like okay. We've got some conflict.
We've got our 50-50 millionaire nailed down.
Sure. That worked out well yesterday, and we know that. Okay. Well, think about those, will you? But before you give us the answer, tell us what's happened today in Trek history, please. Oh, wait. There you go. Okay, go ahead.
Yesterday was Clint Howard's birthday, and today, back in 1966, the first draft script for the TOS episode, The Corbomite Maneuver, was submitted, and that's the one he was in.
Oh, it's when he was the little baby thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have antennas, or am I mixing him up with a dog?
No, you're mixing him up with a dog.
Okay. Because in my memory is that he had antennas, and he talked like a man.
He talked like a man.
But he was a baby.
He talked like a man, yeah.
He was bald. He talked like a really little man.
Yeah, like a little... Yeah. You know what? Hold on. We've never really listened to it. Let's just find the clip.
Oh, excellent.
This is Tranya.
Ron.
That's what he said.
Ron Howard. No, not Ron Howard. Clint Howard. Ron wouldn't have nothing to do with that business.
Yeah.
Howard. Trek. Star... Jeez. Star Trek clip. Okay. Here you go. Just gonna play a taste. Here he is.
Dummy. Puppet of some kind.
I'm Baylock. Welcome aboard.
Oh yeah, there he is. Oh, he's so ugly.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Let's save one more line for him. Come on, Kirk, talk. Come on, Skip.
Sit. Be comfortable.
Oh my gosh.
Go ahead. Be seated.
Be seated. And he's not
going to say next.
He's really bad at like lip syncing it. He did a terrible job. Good job, Clint. All right. So there's that. So you're thinking about this. Oh, yeah. So that was the deal. They started filming that. Well, good. Good for them. Anything else in Trek history today? Or is that it?
Nothing too exciting.
All right. Well, that was outrageous. Outrageous.
This is outrageous.
Okay. Let's get back to your Kirstjen then. Which episode do you think it was? A Land of Troyes? Am I saying that right? Come on.
Yeah, Elan. That's right.
Okay.
Elan.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Elan. All right. It's a terrible name. E-L-A-A-N.
It's a hair salon in space.
It's the third boss in the second wing of some raid. Requiem for Methuselah, the alternative factor, or return to tomorrow. What do you say?
Bookworm. Okay. Mr. Atos was in Return to Tomorrow. There was a library, and there was a lady there where Spock and McCoy went back in time.
All right.
So he probably would have said that then. So I guess that means I have to pick D.
You're picking D, are you? Return to Tomorrow, are you? A popular thing, right? That's a popular episode. People still mm-hmm. consider it the best episode of the original series.
No, but it was okay.
A lot of people think that. Wait, which one am I
City
thinking
on
of?
City on the Edge of Forever.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
City on the Edge of Forever. All right.
Tomorrow Forever. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, what's it? Call the whole thing off. All right, Daryl, let's find out if you're right. Is it that one right there? Hold on. Nope. First, I'll play the rest of the clip and I'll tell you which one.
Flint is my teacher.
Oh, shoot.
You are the only other men I've ever seen.
Damn it.
Misfortune of men everywhere. Our privilege.
Now I paused it at the exact moment.
It was Requiem.
It was Requiem for Methuselah. Kirk, Spock, and McCoy try to get minerals to cure a disease. They run into a man named Flint who has a robot that helps him. The robot is repurposed nomad prop from the episode The Changeling. He also has a weird name. What? Weird name. What? He has a ward named Reyna. It turns out to be an android. All right, there you go. There's your episode. Daryl, good job.
I should have known that. I'm mad at myself.
0-2.
I'll be kicking myself all day now.
Don't do that. There's too much sugar in you. Don't do that. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. Daryl, give us one of your leftover games.
Okay. Well, this isn't a leftover. It's Star Trek ship type or actual hummingbird.
Ship type or hummingbird. Okay. Like the last one we did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm ready.
Lucifer.
The Lucifer. Lucifer class? Or a bird.
It was the name of my first cat.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's an awesome name for a cat.
Yeah. It was a black cat and lived in an apartment, and my mom didn't want her eating the plants, so we locked her in the bathroom whenever we left the house or left the apartment.
Wow. It would eat plants, eh?
It would eat plants.
Seems unhealthy.
It's a dangerous thing if you've got plants that could be poisonous to cats. So,
oh, yeah, true.
Poor thing. I really feel bad. It was a big bathroom in a small apartment. I guess there's that.
That'll work.
Lucifer.
Does it sound like you'd call that a bird? I mean, if the bird...
I mean, it's the devil, right? It was,
it doesn't sound like a Starfleet thing. Because when would they go, you know what? We got Excelsior, what are the classes?
It wouldn't necessarily be a Federation class starship, right? I mean, it could be the Romulan Lucifer thing, or a Klingon Lucifer class or something like that.
That's a good point.
I'm trying to think if, they could name if they would name a hummingbird after another word for C8. I'd say probably more likely Star Trek than hummingbird, personally.
I lean hummingbird, but I'm gonna go with you because you're right about these things usually. So I'm gonna go with you. I'm going with you.
All right,
this is my show of faith.
We're saying Star Trek.
Yeah, we'll say Star Trek.
Okay, Lucifer was a bright purple-throated hummingbird
from northern
and central Mexico.
Sorry, you had it. I talked you out of it.
No, it's all right. Once sometimes you just gotta hold hands and jump off the cliff. I'm all right with that. Damn it. I don't know why that one sounded weird to me.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It is the news brought to you by...
Hey, be sure to check out CamcorderTV.com's newest podcast show, Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright. Every 2 weeks, Count Drahoon presents a new horror story for your screaming, we mean listening, pleasure. Only on CamcorderTV.com. Also, got a small business you want to promote at an affordable rate? Count Drahoon can help. For more info, email us at camcordertelevision@gmail.com. That's camcordertelevision@gmail.com. CamcorderTV.com. Humble beginnings, big ideas.
George Lucas says, listen, I was never very good at writing dialogue in my movies. He told Stephen Colbert this, that he is not good at dialogue and never has been. Mm-hmm. I thought Colbert was done. When did he tell the... Oh, so I'll tell you what this is. This is not his show.
This is at the thing, right? Yeah, at the
Tribeca deal.
Oh, I was thinking for some reason it was at the celebration, Star Wars Celebration.
Oh, no, that'd be cool. I don't think he went anywhere near that, though. I think George Lucas avoided it like crazy. So the word was he wanted nothing to... Well, he never wants much to do with it. I think he's just a private dude that doesn't like
I could
it.
See him cosplaying there in a Sice Noodles outfit or something.
That'd be great. It'd fit.
I'll just walk around here and nobody will know me.
Nobody knows my $4 billion and I will just sneak around. George Lucas admitted to Colbert that he didn't think his dialogue was ever very good. And he has said this at the, this is part of the Tribeca Film Festival's Tribeca Talks Director Series. The self-proclaimed original Star Wars fan, Stephen Colbert, was there. The pair's conversation hit up on several of Lucas's career highlights and missteps, most of which were concentrated within the aforementioned franchise of Star Wars. When the director referred to those films, dialogue as wooden, Colbert helpfully suggested that it was just handcrafted, thereby reminding us all that Lucas's auteur status. But none of that really matters because, according to Lucas, all the movie needs to be good is picture and sound. Plot and dialogue are secondary concerns.
Really? All a movie needs to be great is good picture and sound.
That seems... that explains a few things, though, doesn't it? I mean, well, did we buy
sure
into...
J.J. Abrams has good picture and sound.
But did we all fall for Star Wars because of good picture and sound?
It was a great story, right? I mean, dialogue, nonetheless, and there was some great dialogue that I think is attributed to George Lucas, right? I mean, one of the best lines in the series is the was not something he came up with. It was the "I love you, I know" thing between Han and Leia.
Yeah, but he didn't want Empire. It though. He had both him and the director were anti that. And it was Harrison Ford who wanted to push it. So
right. But some of the other stuff that's in there, like, one I actually used on Twitter today, would it help if I got out and pushed? It might,
True.
Some of that stuff was great.
Sure.
And I don't know how much of it was him and how much of it was somebody else, but...
Never tell me the odds.
Yeah, I don't think that there's... I think it's really more in the later, in the prequels that you start getting really weird, uncomfortable dialogue. And it's mostly between Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman.
Yeah, right? Natalie, like, that Portman. Weird... Yeah. No, I agree with you. That's where it showed off the worst. But I guess he should have added to his list of picture and sound. I would have added a good structure at least.
Yeah.
You know, a good and characters you care about. Like those, that Star Wars certainly has that in the original.
Battlefield Earth had good picture and sound.
Yeah, it did. But that movie was such poo.
It really was, yeah.
Steaming, wet, curled up, just found it under the bed poo. That's a horrible movie.
Right.
It really is one of the worst ones we ever watched for FilmSack.
Yeah, it really is. As far as just like hard to watch. FilmSack, you know, you get these gems like, and I think Troll 2 is still one of my favorite things to talk about that we ever watched on FilmSack.
Oh, yeah.
I'd watch it again in a heartbeat with you guys or with Nerdtacular. You know, like I would watch it in that sort of situation.
Sure.
But some of the stuff we've watched recently, like Cyborg or...
Cyborg was crap.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
Scorcher.
Scorcher. Surf Nazis Must Die.
Yeah, real bad.
Yeah. There's some that are just not fun.
Yeah, Troll 2 had... Well, there's a reason why Troll 2 has cult status. It's actually kind of fun.
Right,
but
right.
But terrible at the same time.
Yeah.
Mitch Pileggi has confirmed he's also returning to the X-Files event
Yay!
Series. Yeah, that's good.
Bald people unite!
David Duchovny told David Lederman earlier this month that Mitch Pileggi would reprise his role as Walter Skinner on the X-Files revival. I forgot his name was Walter Skinner. That's funny.
Yeah.
Until I read it, and then it was suddenly very familiar. Revival on Fox, and today Pileggi made it official. He confirmed that he will join stars Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, who will reprise. Is it Gillian or Gillian?
Gillian Anderson.
I always said Gillian, so good.
Yeah.
They're reprising their roles as FBI agents Fox Mulder and Dana Scully in a 6-episode event series coming soon. We don't have dates, I don't think, do we? No, we don't.
No.
Mm-mm. I'll bet before the year's out, though. Because they don't have to live by like seasonal rules. They can just do it whenever. Right. So I'll bet we get it soon.
And Californication's done, right?
Yeah, that's out.
We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And
I don't have to see his naked butt anymore. Unless they go crazy with the X-Files, you never know.
Yeah, could bring in his dopey friend from Californication as kind of his little sidekick in X-Files. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. That guy. Chiropractor. Oh, this is good news. This is actually terrible. A chiropractor is performing exorcisms and barters for sex with his patients.
Nice.
An Iowa man. Have we ever done Iowa man?
Iowa man.
What's his power?
Likes corn.
Is that Iowa? Yeah, that is Iowa.
I really got nothing for Iowa.
That's all right. Iowa. I only know two things of Iowa. Iowa's important for some reason on all our presidential elections and primaries, and it has a lot of corn. And the third thing I know is that Radar O'Reilly is from Ottumwa, Iowa, the character. And that's all I know about Iowa. Do we have any Iowans? Is that what they call themselves?
Yeah, Iowans.
Anybody listening out there? Oh, sure. People make fun of the term Utah, but Iowans fine?
Yeah, Iowans. Iowans feels just as awkward as Utahns.
Yeah. I mean, Utahns.
Utahns.
Yeah. It's U-T-A-H. No, wait. I got to spell it now.
U-T-A-H-N-S, yeah. Right? Utahns?
Yeah, Utahn. Oh, I've been a Utahn my whole life. Oh, some people are spelling it differently. Oh, and there's a bunch of, according to BuzzFeed. All right. Tangent.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. BuzzFeed.
Don't call Utahns Utahn, says BuzzFeed. Conservative group attack on Orrin Hatch as out of touch backfires with obscure misspelling. What? All right. Whatever. Let me see if this has any. Oh, people. Oh, conservatives are mad at Orrin Hatch because he spelled it wrong.
Oh, how did he spell it?
He spelled it U-T-A-H-A-N-S, like Utahans, like Utahans, instead of U-T-A-H-N-S.
Right, okay.
And so...
Yes, I could see that.
These local conservative leaders are like, opinion, Orrin Hatch is no conservative. What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
Stupid crap. I'm sad I looked that up.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Anyway... chiropractor, guy that does back. Have you ever done these guys? You ever gone to a chiropractor?
I've never gone to a chiropractor, believe it or not.
I've been once, and the guy had horrific BO and bad breath.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. So when he put me in these positions, it was like I'm all like nestled under his freaking pits, and it's just like the death, man. It was awful. It was awful. And he kept talked about the weirdest stuff. You know what? I'm starting to think there's a trend here. Chiropractors talk about some weird stuff. Not saying all of them do. I'm sure some of them are wonderful guys all out there serving the public good, whatever. This one guy we went to, he was talking about how he saw a vision of Jesus in a walnut tree once when he lived in the South. And then he just smelled. Ugh.
Really?
It was a bad experience. Yeah. And it was only $15, so maybe I got what I paid for. But
he was in a mall.
Yeah. Well, he was in an old converted house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. It was weird.
Cheaper than a mall.
Yeah. He tried to talk me into some weird chairs and I don't know, whatever. Anyway, this guy, though, he's this guy in Iowa. He's out of business after authorities busted him for performing an exorcism, or exorcisms in the plural, and treating patients in exchange for sexual favors.
Oh.
Charles Manuel.
Yeah, Charles Manuel.
All right. Surrendered his license, but could apply to get it back in 10 years as part of a settlement reached with the Iowa Board of Chiropractors. Oh, they have a board. They reached it in March. I know nothing of this industry, so everyone out there who's like, oh my gosh, Scott, you don't know anything about chiropractic. Is that it?
Chiropractic.
Chiropractic.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Is that it?
Chiropractic.
Oh, I'm so sorry if that's real.
The more I say it, the weirder it sounds.
Yeah, if that's real, I apologize to the entire board because that's a terrible name. The case stunned residents in the town of Lamoni, population 2,300, where Manuel kept his office, according to KCCI. A woman who answered the phone at the office where he worked told the Des Moines Register that he hadn't worked there in quite a while. So, yeah, they didn't get details about the sexy parts, which is what I was hoping for.
As far as like what he was requesting.
Yeah, I want to know what the value.
I'll get the devil out of you and I'll put the me into you.
I want to know what the equivalencies are. Like, I'll give you a full back workup.
Exorcism.
Yeah.
Gives me an around the world.
Yeah. Yes. That. I'm glad you said that because that's obscure and some people won't get it, and that's good.
Exactly. Yes.
Kentucky man.
An Iowa steamer.
It was a Cleveland steamer. Oh, no, that's an actual train, isn't it?
No. Cleveland steamer is the thing.
Is it the thing? I thought it was a train. Oh.
I'm sure there is that too, but.
Cleveland.
Oh, geez. Sure, an image search off.
I'm going to just search for train. A Cleveland. Oh, of course, everything takes me straight to.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, here we go. There's something called Cleveland Steam Train, and I will just read part of this. Like the Cleveland steamer, but with more participants. The engineer, in quotes. I can't read the rest.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I can't read it. Wow. Man, the things the internet tells you, seriously, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, goodbye. Good night, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Kentucky man. Do we have powers for Kentucky man?
Kentucky man. Closer to horse racing than Iowa man. Excelsior.
Buys corn from him. He's been arrested for drunk riding a horse.
Riding a horse.
Yeah, look at this line here from the Huffington Post article. Say nay to drunk riding.
Oh, if you wouldn't have told me that it was a HuffPo article, that would have confirmed it right there.
You wouldn't have believed me.
He was drunk or the horse was drunk?
The horse, he was drunk on the horse.
Okay.
The horse was just made to take it. Kentucky man was arrested this week after police said he rode a horse under the influence of alcohol. Michael Kimmel, age 40, aren't they always, told police on Tuesday that he did, quote, didn't do shit, I think.
I didn't do shit.
and then says, I was just riding my horse. As they responded to reports of an intoxicated horse rider on U.S. Route 23, according to the Floyd County Times. Oh, that sounds like a great paper to me. The Floyd County Times.
The Floyd County Times.
Jive of Virginia, you want to run this down to the printers now? I think we're ready to go. We're missing an ad for the local free feedery. That just sounds like a little hometown paper. That sounds great. Anyway, the arrest report, filed by Trooper Jay Gabbard. Trooper Jay Gabbard. That's the guy's name.
It is. Trooper Jay Gabbard.
That's great.
Trooper Gabbard.
He says the dude was ordered to stop, but instead he ran down an embankment, fleeing on foot, wearing only a brown hat, jeans, and boots.
Oh.
During the search for the suspect, police say they found his clothing on the park porch of his, the back porch of his own house. He faces charges of driving under the influence as well as fleeing or evading police. Now, is it driving under the influence because they don't have a law for riding under the influence? Probably. You know?
I guess it seems silly, right? To have drunk riding on a horse be a thing because you're not going to run over somebody.
Nope. Well,
you're not going to flip your horse.
Maybe
taking a curve too sharp or something.
I wonder if you could. Yeah, what are you a danger to? Because I guess I guess you could run it into a crowd and hurt somebody.
Well,
I don't know how horses work.
I guess you could run over somebody like that if you have the horse really going at a fast trot or something.
I mean, Gladiator. Gladiator is the one about air fresheners. It's a fantastic movie. Gladiator featured a horse knocking a kid over. Remember that part?
No, I don't.
Came riding into.
I'm telling you about the DVD. Never watched
it. That's true. So you've never seen the movie.
Oh, I've seen the movie. Oh, yeah, okay. I saw it in theaters. Okay. And I apparently really liked it and said, oh, I'm going to have to go buy this.
You liked it enough. How much is that DVD back then? It would have been probably $20 or more.
Probably
Oh, man. Those days.
Because it was the special edition, the Ridley Scott director's cut. Yeah.
I freaked out all my neighbors because back in 98, I had a DVD player, very early one, big fat thing.
Yep.
And I bought my first DVD was Fifth Element.
Mm.
And the Fifth Element was, I want to say, $49 on DVD.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And I took that home, plugged that into my TV, and watched it over like RF cables. Oh my gosh. So dumb.
Wow.
What a weird time.
Yeah, no kidding, right? That would have been the things that the little tabs you put over the UHF or the VHF screws, right? Like your old Atari kind of thing.
I think I had to do that because my TV didn't have the little
input jacks.
What are those called? RCA jacks, yeah.
Yeah.
But those are terrible too.
Yeah.
Like what a dumb time. This is dumb. All this transitioning. I hate it. I feel like my adult life has been too much of the transition and not enough of the VR future we're all waiting for, where I just sit in a tub of goo and predict the future with a headset on. That's what I really want. That's your stories about Kentucky, man, and may he ever live in peace. Kentucky. Why does Kentucky remind me of something? I haven't even started this last season of Justified. Did you finish?
I did.
And did it finish well?
It ends well.
Strongly, you say?
It ends strongly.
Okay, don't tell me anymore. I've managed to avoid spoilers completely about the whole season. Yep. The only thing I know is that Sam Elliott is in it. Somehow, and that's all I know. And then he has no mustache.
Garrett Dillahunt is in it.
Yeah, he's in there. Plays a Terminator. No, just kidding. What is he playing? Just a dude.
Yeah. The guy who was on Party of Five as Scott Wolf's buddy.
Oh.
Booger or Boner or whatever his name was is also in it.
Everybody's lame. Everybody's friend lame is sidekick Booger or friend Boner.
Is Boner or Booger.
Booger Von Boner. I love it. All right. Who else? Any standouts?
It seemed like there were a lot. Oh, yeah. Mary Steenburgen.
Burgeon.
Steenburgen.
Mm-hmm. She's cool.
She's cool. And she's, boy, is her stock going up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because she's been on a few things lately. I won't say one of them because it would be a spoiler to tell you a show that she's on. Just knowing that she's on it would be a spoiler.
It's not Game of Thrones, is it?
That would be great.
Yeah, it would be. Ted Danson's wife in
Lady
Game of Thrones.
Danson of Marine. Oh, isn't this just lovely here?
Yeah. The Danson clan.
House Danson.
House Danson. What would be their flag? What's their sigil?
It'd be a Bierstein, right?
Yeah.
It'd be a.
That'd be great. Or a fat guy that says Norm over it.
That's right.
Amazing.
Come to Marine, where everybody knows your name.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
What's going on, Mr. Tyrion? Let's talk about what's going in, Mr. Tyrion.
And everyone laugh. Brilliant. All right. that's it for news. Check this out. Tweaked Audio sponsoring today's program. 5 styles, 7 great colors. All the sound is designed to sound great in your head, no matter what you're listening to. Put it in your iPod, your iPhone, your MP3 player of all types, your Android phone, whatever, man. Lifetime warranty on everything. Go to tweakedaudio.com. Use the code STREAM at checkout for 33% off your earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be Chinbeard. No Jerry today. He's on a plane. He's on a flight. Might get him in for some news action tomorrow or Thursday. But cool. For today, no Jerry. No, but we do have some calls and stuff, so hang around for that.
Award-winning jury.
That's right. The jury is out. Before all that, though, Brian brought music. What are we playing?
I did. Philip from Shippensburg, PA, wrote in, said, hey, insert nerdy names that start with S and B here. On April 18th, me and my fiancé Suzanne will begin our legendary quest line of marriage. So, for this joyous occasion, I would like to request a song. Anything Lord Coverville seems appropriate would be just fine. If for some reason you're having trouble finding said song, then that Darius Rucker chicken shit sandwich song would be superb. I know the 18th is an off day, so whenever you can get to it would be awesome. Milk sacks in the chat when I'm not stuck at work. Horde side. Oh, well, wrong show. Love the Sioux, though.
Nice.
Philip.
I hummed that song in the shower today.
Did you?
I couldn't help it.
When my belly starts to rumbling and I'm hungry for a treat.
It just was in me. I couldn't do it. Yeah. I could not do it. Anyway.
The power of Darius compels you. all right. So how about something that that I've heard recently that I really enjoy? And this was somebody tweeted this over to me or emailed me or said, oh, you got to check out this album. And it's great. It's an EP, a 5 or 6 song EP, all covers, called Just the Tip. And it's performed by a UK group called Lounge Kittens, or The Lounge Kittens.
All right.
This is great stuff. And you got to check out the whole EP. If you like this, you will love the whole EP. It's all great. They do a cover of I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith on there that we're not playing, but is fantastic. Changes the song completely.
Nice.
Here's their version, though, of Andrew WK's Party Hard. Here are The Lounge Kittens.
When it's time to party, we will party hard. When you work, you don't feel all right. And when things stop feeling all right, and everything is all right, 'cause we will never listen to your rules. We will never do as others do. We know what we want and we get it from you. We do what we like and we like what we do.
So let's get a party going.
Let's get a party going.
Now it's time to party, we will party hard.
Party hard.
Let's get a party going.
Let's get a party going.
When it's time to party, we will always party hard.
Party hard. Hard. Party hard. Hard. Party 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 hard. Hard. Hard.
Wow, wow. Wow, wow. Wow, wow. Wanna not now. Wow, wow. Wow, wow. Wow, wow. Wanna not now.
You fight that fight, that fight. And when you're fighting, you feel alright. And when things stop feeling alright,
alright, everything is alright.
'Cause we will never listen to your rules.
No.
We will never do as others do.
No.
We know what we want and we get it from you. We do what we like and we like what we do. Let's get a party going, let's get a party going. Now it's time to party and we'll party hard,
party hard.
Let's get a party going, let's get a party going. When it's time to party, we will always party hard.
Party, 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 we're gonna have a party. Yeah, everybody party going hard, hard, hard.
Party,
party, party, party, it's time
party
to have
hard.
A party. Yeah, everybody party,
party
going hard, hard, hard.
Party.
party hard. Hey, party hard. Hey, party hard. We're going hard, hard, hard. Party hard. Hey, party hard. Hey, party hard. We're going hard, hard, hard.
Chocolate lovers, watch out for new Choco Bliss.
Oh, what a sweet sensation. Oh, Hostess, what you do to me. New Choco Bliss, a chocolatey creation. Three layers make it chocolatey. Moist and chocolatey cake with chocolatey filling. Chocolatey icing, so smooth.
Choco Bliss,
a dream come true.
New Choco Bliss from Hostess. Watch out.
Peaky Blinders.
I don't care. This is the morning stream.
And we're back. There you go.
Mm-hmm. And, party hard.
Yeah, party hard, Garth. Party on, Wayne. Oh, we got a we got a note here from Justin Robert Young.
Uh-huh. What's he
says
say?
His plans have changed.
Oh.
That he will be here today.
Oh, okay, cool.
Well, that sounds so he's fantastic. Not on a plane. Yeah, he says he was going on a plane, but something must have changed. I bet he's at the airport or something. I bet that's the
maybe,
deal.
Maybe his flight's a little bit later or something. Who
if
knows?
I had to make a guess, that's what I would guess. All right, we're going to call Bill. I know Bill's been running around traveling, so I don't know if he's... I didn't check with him, but I assume he's around.
Oh.
We'll find out now. Find out with us, won't you, as we...
Send up the stink bag signal.
All right. Oh, I see him logging in. That means I can play this. Bill Duran on the line. Hello, Bill.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Bill. Hello. Oh, you're very quiet, your voice.
I don't know. I'm in a different location today.
Oh.
I don't know how to use all these switches.
I'll crank you up.
Wow, he looks like he's in the NSFW studios.
Yeah,
almost.
Are you in Jury's house? Are you at Jury's? Is that what you're doing?
What is this? What's going on here?
Yeah, sure
oh,
enough.
That's
that.
It. So wait a minute. I thought, so I'm very confused because... Jury is supposed to be on a plane.
Yeah, he's not here.
So he's not there. He's probably at the airport.
Bill is house sitting.
Right. So it's Bill.
Bird sitting.
Yeah, bird sitting. How's Dr. Bird? Are you taking good care of it? What's going on there?
We're chums. He's my buddy.
Yeah.
Aww.
Well, they don't sound like that, do they?
Some birds do,
well,
not that one.
This is a fine moment to welcome you to the show. Bill comes on the show, talks about fitness and that sort of thing. And I do have to ask before we talk about that, though. How was your visit to Autodesk? That seemed like a cool thing to do.
It's weird, like the things that people fanboy over. I've been an Autodesk fanboy for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was magical.
You're well versed in the Autodesk stuff. Like that's your thing. That's your jam for a long time, right?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff I went to school for, like 3D modeling and animation using 3D Studio Max and Maya and AutoCAD and all that stuff.
And so, now making props and stuff ahead of time by modeling them out. I mean, obviously that stuff pays off even now as your prop building stuff goes on.
Sure does.
That's
yeah.
Pretty cool. Did you act like a complete nerd there or what?
Yeah. Oh, so good. And they had so many amazing tools. Like they have a full woodworking shop, a full metalworking shop. About a million 3D printers.
I'll bet they've got, yeah, the 3D printer room filled with them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got you covered, man, no matter what you need. Well, that's great. Well, on the note of nerds hanging around doing stuff, how about those that are trying to stay in shape in the modern age? How can they do that?
Oh, you could get in shape by doing pull-ups. How does that sound?
No, it sounds terrible. Tell me more.
There's a great couple of articles on nerdfitness.com all about both how to do like the form for doing a good pull-up and a lot of great advice on how to do that first pull-up. Mm. Because for a lot of people, how do I get better at doing pull-ups if I can't even do one pull-up, right?
Right.
That's the major challenge.
Yeah, and a lot of people can't, right? It's very hard.
Yeah, it's tricky. You're fighting gravity the whole way. You want to be able to do pull-ups because they're a really great exercise. They do everything down your arm and down your back. It's a really, really good exercise. So people ought to try and be able to do a pull-up and then try and do more than one pull-up.
That seems reasonable to want to be able to do it because the muscle groups you're working out there are ones you'd like to do that with, right?
That's right, especially your back. You really want to be able to The stronger your back is, the more in shape your back is, the less likely you'll be to injure your back. And back injuries are suck.
Yeah, they're real kick in the chotch.
That's right.
Yeah.
So so here's some good advice on how to get the ball rolling on your very first pull-up. Let's see here. This one may be a no-brainer, you might think, but if you can start dropping weight, that'll help a lot.
Less for you to try and lift, right?
That is correct.
I'm actually surprised that step one is make sure that the bar you're pulling up to is firmly attached to whatever you're pulling, like whatever.
That's some good advice. Usually in a doorway, drill it into a doorway. Or actually, there's a pull-up bar right over there. It's one of the, and I don't trust them, but I guess they work. It's one that you just like hook on the thing.
Hey, you guys keep talking. For some reason, my alarm's going on upstairs. But Brian, handle this for a second. We're back.
Yeah, no problem. Like it's hooked what onto the frame of a door? Or what's it hooked onto?
Frame. Like I guess hopefully that crown molding right there is like nailed in really well. But,
oh jeez.
But you can just get a pull-up bar that'll just you can do your thing and then take it off and throw it in the closet. I guess you got a lot of options. No, but yes, definitely make sure it is firmly attached to whatever.
Don't use a shower curtain rod.
No, sir. Yeah, actually, if you watch fail videos every week, like I do, at least once a month, there's a video of a dude. And I don't know why he's videotaping himself doing pull-ups.
Right.
But there's a video
he wants to analyze his form and see,
I guess so, yeah.
Step by step, I'm gonna cut all this footage together and you can watch my abs form.
Yeah. So, without fail, he'll pull the bar right into his head as it comes off, and then you fall on your butt.
Yeah.
So don't do that. No, sir. But if you do drop a little weight, that's going to help a lot. And even if you just drop, 10 pounds, you'll find how much of a difference that makes doing a pull-up. And then there are a lot of exercises you can do that aren't pull-ups that'll help develop the muscles that you need to do pull-ups, a lot of back exercises. And if you go to the Nerd Fitness, just go to nerdfitness.com and look up the pull-up thing. They have a list of exercises and videos that show you how to do it, which is really handy.
Now, pull-up versus chin-up, is that just the difference of which way your inner arms are facing?
I think so. Yeah, I'm sure it, in one of those articles, it probably explains it. But basically, if your hands are facing away from you, it's a chin-up. If you're facing towards you or vice versa.
Right. Yeah. The back. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Pull up, chin up.
Yeah. you can do, if you go to a gym, a lot of them will have a pull up machine with a padded thing you can kneel on and you can set how much ballast weight you need. So you're doing a full pull up, but it offsets the weight. And that's a really great way to get started.
Like a spot. It's basically like having a spotter. There was one at the gym I went to called the Gravitron. It sounds like a video game, but it was the Gravitron. And you'd basically be on this thing and it would know your weight. And then you'd pull up on the bar and it would kind of be spotting you. It wouldn't be pushing you up, but it would be directly under your knees. Like it's raising up. And that way, if you fell, you'd instantly be caught.
Yeah, that's nice. You can do something similar too at home. If you have a pull-up bar, you can just get a chair and put either one or both of your legs up there, and that way you're just lifting less weight when you do pull-ups. So that's another really great way to get started. Whatever exercise you end up doing, if you can do three sets of 8 reps with a couple of minutes in between, then you're doing a pretty good job. So you may be doing just a little bit of weight, but you're developing the muscles you need for that particular exercise, so long as you're getting enough repetition in there. And then, like most exercises, the more you do them, the better you'll get at it, and you can keep setting more and more ambitious goals. If you're using that weight machine at the gym, you can set the ballast to less and less and less, so you can do more, reps with more of your own body weight involved and challenge yourself. And I would say if you can knock out 3 sets of 10 pull-ups, it's probably more than most people can do. So if you start getting there, then you're doing a really great job.
It's been such a long time since I've done a pull-up. I would hate to, I would hate for anyone to see me attempt to do one in, like I said, it's been so long. But I've got, on the Bowflex that I use, there's a pull-down bar.
Right.
So that unless you set the weight to be exactly what your weight is, It's a good way to maybe work yourself up to being able to pull up your weight.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it for sure. Then if you get really crazy and you're starting to really get good at the pull-ups, you can get a weighted vest to make it even more confusing for yourself. Just like strap a baby to your chest and pull up that way.
Right. Cement shoes.
I've never gotten to that point. I've never thought like, you know what? This needs to be more difficult.
Right.
I'm back. Sorry. Go. Keep talking.
It's all right. Is your house all right? Everybody okay?
I don't know why it went off. It's my fire alarm in the kitchen went off, but there's nothing burning anywhere. So I don't know, man. Freaking haunted up there. Something's up. Anyway, where'd you guys end up? Pull-ups. Do pull-ups every day.
Best. All right. Are you there yet, Scott? If you're doing pull-ups, do you add more weight now? Do you just strap a cat to your head?
Dude, I am one of those guys who right now probably couldn't do one full one if you asked me to. I've been woefully... I've been keeping up with like the jogging and the running and the treadmill and all the stuff, right? But I have not kept up with the upper body strength, arm strength, all that stuff. So I'm woefully behind, and you should be embarrassed by me as your friend.
I'm embarrassed to know you, Johnson.
Sometime in between now and next week, why don't you try and do just one pull-up and get back to us? Let us know how it goes.
Okay, I'll let you know how excruciatingly hard it is. And and we have one of those things, like the hang it from the hallway things, you know, like door jam ones that work pretty well. So I even have one. I don't really have an excuse not to do a pull-up.
You're all set, man. Do it.
I'm not going to a local park to do it, though, like McConaughey, like some kind of freak. Because right. People will see me.
When you can do multiples, then you go to the park to kind of show off.
Good point.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or you get a wall with all the pegs and a bar, and you jump up them like the guy from Arrow.
From Arrow. Yeah, no kidding. Holy crap.
I'm a behind on Arrow. That sounds like a cool thing, I should say.
Oh, yeah. It's like two tracks on either side of this metal bar that's loose.
Oh, right.
And you pull yourself up and you use your momentum to kind of move the bar up to the next thing and pull yourself up. And
I take it back. I have seen that. That guy's buff.
Yeah.
Another common fail video when people try and do that. And one side of it misses and then they just topple.
Oh, man. I bet they look like a Plinko chip going down, too.
Right. I enjoy a good fail video, so I'm all in on that. Well, cool, Bill. These are all fine ideas. Is there anything else happening for you these days that we should tell people about?
Not too much going on my end. I'm gallivanting about California this weekend, but my wonderful wife Brittany is keeping things running on the Punished Props front. So she just put a build write up about she made a She-Ra costume.
Mm-hmm.
Go over to punishedprops.com. You can see the write up she did. You ought to go check that out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Remind me, She-Ra. Why am I thinking He-Man's Thundercats?
Sister, right?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I was thinking of the Thundercat lady. That's Chitara. Chitara?
Chitara. Oh, yeah.
All right. I used to play one of those in a band in high school.
That was better than a Kitara.
Right? Exactly. Bill, have a fun time. Take care of yourself, and may Dr. Bird not peck your eyes out in your sleep.
Yep. Fingers crossed.
Bye now. All right.
Sorry. We never did find out what he's doing in Jerry's house.
No, we didn't ask, did we? I meant to, and then my alarm went off, and it went beep, beep. I'm surprised the show couldn't hear it. Could you hear it?
A little bit. More like a whoosh, 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 like that sort of thing, right?
It's a weird sound. I don't even know how to explain it. But the only thing I can think of is there is a window open in there because we're trying to like enjoy the heat without turning on air conditioning because it's getting warm. And there's a window open, and it's possible that the construction across the street, something wafted in, maybe not even smoke, but like a... I don't know, something that would have made the carbon detector thing go off.
Right.
So all I did, here's what I did. I went up there, I shut that window, and then I took a towel and just waved it at the thing, and it stopped. So don't ask me. I don't know what the hell's going
on. Weird. I wonder what the deal was with that.
I don't know.
Who was it? Somebody just posted a salmon ladder fail video in the chat room here.
Oh, yeah?
I can see why. Holy cow.
Let's take a look.
Yeah, it was,
let's have a look.
I'll give you the link if you can't find it.
Is it the ziggurat one? Must be the ziggurat
one. No. Oh, is it? No, it's the one right above that. WHCTHBD.
Well, while I look for that.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young, likely in an airport or some shite like that. Where are you?
You're damn right I am. Absolutely.
What happened? Something get delayed?
No, there's this thing that happens when you have airline status that you can like switch your flight within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So very often what happens, oddly enough, whenever I usually have flights that depart before 6 a.m, I find myself before I go to bed finding out what options I have to not fly out at 6 a.m.
Nice.
And so one of those was this, and you know, this is a east to west 3 time zone hop because I was in East Coast time, then Central, which is where I am now in Chicago, and then I go to Phoenix, which is West Coast. And so I couldn't even, especially since you guys moved the show back an hour.
Yeah.
Like now all of my sense of like, wait a minute, can I do the show? Is the show going to be happening while I'm on my layover? Is just totally out the window.
No.
So I didn't even think to talk to you guys. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I wonder where the morning stream is right now. And it was, you were just going into the cover song and I'm like, oh, look at this.
Hey, there's still time. Hmm. Well, good. Cool. What brings you to Chicago? Go Games, I guess.
No, I mean, Chicago is just the hub. Oh. Like, I'm going from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. to Phoenix, Arizona.
Must be flying United.
Oh, that's all I do, bro. It's like my job.
You get to go through the Chicago Disco Tunnel, the United Disco Tunnel.
Man, I was just doing that while Bill was unable to figure out my audio board. I was...
Nice.
So he's keeping watch, I guess, while you're
out. That's a real bummer. Like, I'm on the road a lot this the next 2 or 3 weeks, so yeah. You know, it's always sucks when good people are in town and I have to miss them, but yeah. he is I guess having a good time, and Ashley and him hung out last night, and I'm peanut butter and jealous.
Oh. Well, that's adorable. Well, tell us what's heavy on the mind of jury today. What weighs you down? What do you need to yak up on our table?
I don't know. You know, you watched that Jurassic World trailer?
Yeah, I did. The latest one, I assume.
The newest one.
Yeah, the most recent one.
For those who don't know, it's the one that ends with a pterodactyl being eaten by a big water thing.
I think that was in one of the first teasers, because I think that's their like SeaWorld attraction.
I think so too. But the first, I went back and compared the first trailer is it's like a shark or some other kind of meat hanging in the place. This appears to be it kind of going wild and the pterodactyls are out and everyone's going crazy. Yeah. So if you've seen that one, then that's the one we're going to talk about. And if you feel like that's a spoiler, I guess pause now or skip ahead or something.
Okay, listen.
There will be giant dinosaurs and they will eat stuff. Oh, if you spoiled the movie for
us. Here's the deal. And I know that, you know, the Jeff Cannatas of the world are leading this fringe religious movement to, you know, shame trailers and, you know, that to watch a trailer is the worst thing in the world. But like, okay, it's fine. You do that, and that means you have to not consume a lot of media because people like to talk about it because it's advertising that is designed by the filmmakers to entice you to see their movie, to give you a preview. So, like, whatever.
Enjoy them, I say. They're fun. The hype train is fun, you know?
Especially this Jurassic World trailer, because I think I had a lot of kind of doubts about Jurassic World, especially in the first trailer. It looked almost a little too glossy, like too like post-process glossy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which was kind of weird considering, you know, so much of what I think the first one did well aesthetically was that you watched it and like you felt different when the characters were in air conditioning, because it was just a sweaty, gross kind of film, as it should be when you are in Central America and all the power gets taken out. Right.
Yeah. Completely agree.
And so that was a little bit weird, but everything I've seen since then has kind of turned me around. Like I really like the little clip that they had of that, you know, gave us our first kind of glimpse of Chris Pratt not riding a motorcycle with his Raptor homeboys galloping alongside him.
Right. It's a much more crap is really going awry trailer than the first one, right? Yeah. I mean, you're seeing military folks getting plucked out of the jungle. You're seeing a lot of people on dinosaur violence.
I like
dinosaur on people violence.
I like the description: military folks being plucked military out folks. Of the plucked out of the jungle. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. That sounds like a good trailer in its own right.
I feel like that's a self-published book by a Vietnam vet right now on
military
Amazon.
Military folks plucked out of the jungle.
What's funny is the only thing I feel like the trailer could spoil a person on would be if you're really holding out to see as little of the monster as you can. They show a bit.
They do which one do they do that with? It was the third one where they had the brand new dinosaur that was even bigger than the T-Rex, and oh, we're not going to spoil it until the toys come out, and then you're going to get to see that.
Yeah, but in this case, it's a trope. I hate. I can't stand movies where you don't see the alien until the final third. I hate it. Right. I don't mind
in the movie if they do it, because that then at least you are in an immersive experience that is building your suspense to a point in which it is revealed. However, I don't think in the movie, like the marketing, all the characters are sitting around saying, "I wonder what it looks like. Oh my God, I wonder if it has a crazy head." And then, you know, congratulations, it looks like a chewed piece of gum, like all of these monsters look like.
Right.
So what does excite me about the trailer is it appears to be, and you never know with trailers, but it appears to focus on the monster movie aspect of Jurassic Park. And that I like a lot. They need to be menacing and not, I mean, I was worried in the first one because I was like, oh, Chris Pratt has trained a bunch of raptors to go with him. And without any context, that seems a little Aquaman-ish, you know? Yes, like,
right. Raptor squad.
Right. Just kind of bugged me.
Raptors, let's go. Yeah, head out.
I don't think I like that idea. But now that I can kind of see, all right, well, clearly he's at the park as some sort of trainer dude. He's shown that you can, like any horse whisperer, you can be a raptor whisperer and get them to do what you need them to do. And
we are assuming that this is 20 years, you know, in movie time since the first one. I don't think this is supposed to happen, like, 6 months after, you know, everything that, like, this ship has been righted. Obviously, now Jurassic Park, or Jurassic World, I guess, is a successful, massive tourist destination. And in that world, in a world where there are, like, you know, you can list dinosaur trainer on your resume on LinkedIn, you know, it would make sense that somebody would have that kind of relationship with the raptors, right?
Sure, there's context there. Also, it's nice to see this trailer shows that B.D. Wong is still working the science end of it. Originally from the first movie, he's still in there making eggs happen, so that was cool.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I mean, imagine that dude's contract, right? Like, he had to get a pretty penny, to make sure that, because even if he's still in corporate, let's say, you know, they take care of him, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah, you got to figure, like, I don't know, can I work from San Francisco? Like, can I just email these like sequences
I actually have to go out to Isla Nublar and actually work in that building?
Well, he is kind of, in film sack terms, he's the chick in the bucket of the first movie. And that is that we saw him, he explained how the DNA works, how they get it out of what they call that stuff, the wax, or the
amber.
Amber, right?
Yeah.
So he explained all that. He was like a big deal in that part of it. And I think he was even there for, oh no, they're reproducing, maybe some of that news. And then nothing. We don't know what happened to him. Did he get out on a boat? Did he fly out of there? Did he, you know, there's no story. So in a way, I kind of want to hear some of that. I want to see him say, yeah, that was rough. Remember that? Okay, anyway, so here's some new eggs. Like, whatever it is, I want some closure to his time at the park, not just at the world, you know?
Yeah. Well, I hope that he gets off the boat to go to Jurassic World and somebody's like, oh, I heard you were at Isla Nublar. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, I don't know if I'd be able to come back. And then he says, well, what's the worst that can happen? And then looks in the camera and winks.
That'd be great.
That would be my favorite. That, and then everything is just a postmodern telling where he's like the Greek chorus that is like talking directly to the camera.
I love it. That's a great idea. Yeah, I'm genuinely...
Well, now what Chris Pratt here doesn't know is that...
Yeah, what do you... So a couple of things that seem a little tropey to me, though. We have two more young kids in peril. Mm-hmm. So that's yeah. We haven't seen that before, of course. they're in a weird thing that they're now trapped
bubble.
In
yeah.
that's being poked
Hamster
at.
Bubble.
Hamster bubble, right? I guess that's sort of like their weird SUV on tracks. The big creature, the one nice twist is apparently this creature is killing for sport, according to Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, I mean, you know, theoretically, in the entire Jurassic franchise, this would probably be the only movie where it really makes sense to have kids on the island, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if the island is this gigantic metro zoo, like, kids go to that. Like, it was weird in the other movies that kids were randomly on these abandoned islands with dinosaurs, right?
That's true. Like, the family, the picnic family in Two.
Yeah, I mean, like, right. you have to do some backflips writing-wise to be like, and then we said, hey, wife, let's bring the kids to an abandoned island.
The one that was in the news.
Sure, run off. Go ahead and explore, kiddo, and yeah. see what you find.
Because one would assume even in 1993, if an event like this happened, it wouldn't, I don't remember how Two picked it up, but didn't shut the news down on it. People knew what happened, right? Like, there was...
I forget how they I've tried like most god-fearing people to block the Lost World out of my memory, so I don't remember quite exactly how they handled the fallout of Isla Nublar.
I mean, they basically put it all on Chaos Theory Man there to
no because I know. And the book makes a point to say that, like, at the point that all the main characters get on the island in the book, there's this kind of whispers that there have been deaths, but because it's a private thing and there's no real government oversight that can, like, make them tell, like, nobody knows for sure. So I think it was kind of swept under the rug.
Yeah, it probably was. I don't remember. I remember those kids showed up again in that one. Mm-hmm. What if they have?
Because really, only a few people died, right?
Sure.
Like, what, 8, 5, 6 deaths, including
lawyer, some jerks in the booth.
Yeah, the toilet, yeah. Toilet lawyer.
Newman.
So hold on, let's name them all. Toilet lawyer.
Toilet lawyer.
Newman.
Newman.
Samuel Mother F and T Jackson there. L Jackson.
Yeah. Right.
Muldoon. Muldoon dies. Yeah. Right.
Clever girl, that guy.
Right, exactly.
Shoot her! That's how I always remember from him.
Yeah.
What's her name?
We'll
Liz?
Call him Outback Steakhouse right now.
That's another great moment I hope happens in the movie is Chris Pratt looks at a raptor, does something cool, and goes, smart lady.
Yeah.
And winks at the camera.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's no Mark Hamill saying I'm your father in The Flash, but it's close. Yeah. That's it. That's all the deaths. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Really what? So you have two intolerable people and two cool people.
Yeah. Wait, who's the Paul Hogan's a cool one? One of the Paul Hogan lookalike?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I mean, we like Paul Hogan at the point that he dies, right?
Right. I guess so. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, because he's not a bad guy. He's not there for his own ends, his own profit. Like Newman.
He is that guy, though. He's that trope in movies where he's going to die doing what he loves, which is hunting a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the way he wanted to go.
I want to die while the animals that I've been wrangling up. Crikey.
I want to be a clever boy when I die.
I died just the way I lived. Fiddling with dinosaurs.
Shooting raptors. all right. Well, yeah, it looks great. I mean, I guess I'm cautiously, whatever. I'm just optimistic. I was going to see it anyway. It doesn't matter. I'll, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, we were all going to see it because we're suckers and this is why movies make money. But I do think it also kind of has a little bit hope, maybe a glimmer of hope that it could kind of have some of that larger question fun stuff that was in the original Jurassic Park that they seem to kind of be setting themselves up for. Something more than just the very tropey, like, should man be creating dinosaurs? Like, you know, it's the Frankenstein monster, but this time with better toys.
Right.
So, like, hopefully that there's something in there. It's got a little bit of a brain to it. And I'll tell you, the one thing I think it'll do really, really, really well, because at the very least, man, that Chris Pratt, he's a star.
Yeah,
you know,
he's
on screen, and you're like, oh, I want to see that movie. He seems like a fun guy to hang around with for an hour and a half.
I still can't believe it's that guy on the couch with a cast on in season one of Parks and Rec.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, talked about somebody whose stock has just risen and is holding steady, right?
Yeah. Plateaued. And he's earned all of it. It's just so funny to because I hated that character in that first season of Parks and Rec. Yeah. I thought, get rid of that.
Oh, yeah, you were supposed to.
Yeah, get rid of him. He's lame. He's not funny. Like, he sucks. And now he's this guy everybody wants to see. Are you worried, though, Jerry? We've talked about it before, but now that this is looming and Guardians 2 is being, you know, is well underway in the writing process and all that, are you worried about peak Pratt, or are we okay still?
Oh, we are years away from peak Pratt. Mm. You know, like...
over-preturation?
Yeah, preturation.
Yeah. No, we're like 5 years from now, he'll be doing... some like cruddy romantic comedy or something.
Oh my God, you're so right. It'll be him and Anna Faris and
Because they're married, why not?
Yeah, they're married, right? Yeah.
Since they're married, they can just go out and do it together.
They can do their rom coms together.
They can do their own sex scenes and not worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, those two, geez. I mean, talk about Jurassic Park style genetic creation of the funniest, you know, offspring ever between the two of them.
Watch, they should be able to create super comic.
Yeah.
I know.
The kid will pop out.
No,
like,
pressure.
He'll be an accountant or something boring.
Of course, yeah.
No offense, accountants. There's always a few listening. Well,
then
great.
He's going to look into the camera and say, what a punchline. Yeah. Wink.
Are you more worried? this is semi sort of related, but are you more worried about... Or are you worried at all about Age of Ultron with some of these reviews coming out talking about it, you know, not so hot? Are you worried about that?
Well, I mean, I saw some of the reviews that were like, you know, it's longer, it's a little bit more muddled, and it's darker than the original Avengers. You know, at some point, you know, people are going to start having more nuanced opinions about Marvel movies beyond they're the best things ever, right?
Yeah.
Like, just because we've had really good ones that we can measure them against. Like, will it be an enjoyable Avengers movie, the likes of which we've dreamed about since we were children? Yes, it will almost assuredly be that. Will it be as good as the first Avengers? Will it be as good as Guardians of the Galaxy? I don't know. I mean, I hope so. If it is, then that means we're in for an amazingly awesome movie. If it's not, if it's slightly less than, you know, I don't know. That's still rad, I'm still excited to be watching it.
Still good. I'm okay. All the talk about it being darker, I kind of don't have a problem with that.
No, me neither.
Well, I think it's like if I'm going to take a guess as to where the reviewers are trying to hint with that, is that like there is less full throttle, you know, the Hulk punching Thor for no reason. You know, silliness, because you have to project the gravity of, you know, some of the darker things that happen in the movie. And that, you know, even just in a real estate perspective, if you just have less room for the big fun adventure ride, then that just might not be the movie that some people were expecting.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Yeah, I'm reading a review right now that says it's the greatest thing ever. So I don't know, you know, whatever.
Yeah, no, the geek press that saw it 2 weeks ago seemed, you know, all the reviews I read, you know, seemed to indicate that it was, you know, a very worthy sequel and enjoyable, but it may not hold up to some people's expectations of the first one. But I think that's totally, you know, normal. I mean, like, you know, in my mind, we've already gotten, three or four successful sequels to the Avengers, right? Like, we've gotten all these spinoff movies that have been amazing and super fun.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and if you count everything that's made reference to that battle in New York, you can now count, you know,
Daredevil
and stuff. Yeah,
great references in there, and great kind of world building going on there. Like, to me, that is the more interesting story, and I'm not looking at any one singular movie to make or break any of it.
Listen, just keep it going. Like, all I need is for each movie to keep the ball in the air.
Yeah.
Just keep that volleyball up, and As long as that happens and I keep paying you money, then we are copacetic, yeah. Marvel.
We're buddies.
We'll get along just fine. Yeah. MCU.
Well, speaking of getting along just fine, tonight I understand that Sarah Lane will be joining you guys again on Night Attack.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, no, our favorite segment ever, Problem Solvers, will be back, as will the lovely and talented Sarah Lane. However, what I want to talk to you guys about is repairing the wreckage that is both of your lives.
Okay, good. All right. I was hoping you would come to this.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, I think it's all been leading to this. This morning stream segment, you know, our friendships on and off the podcasts. I feel like now we can finally come to the realization that you guys both need help.
All right.
So, all right. I'm here to offer it to you.
Help us pick up the pieces. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. You can go right now. Let me see if I can find a good link for this. The Journey is a brand new book written by Chet Page.
Okay.
He is a really remarkable young man, and he explains how he has achieved personal enlightenment.
This is a book that we need to all get behind and push up the charts, right? This sounds like an amazing book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Gifted Enlightenment, is that the one?
Yeah, Gifted Enlightenment. The Journey is a debut self-help narrative from Chet Page, world traveler, presented as a series of stories, each taken from one of Chet's visits to foreign countries and cultures. So if you haven't picked it up, this is another horse crap book that everybody wrote together. And that we've been working on a Night Attack for a couple months now. Mm-hmm. Today it is released. So buy it now. If you want to buy it and you are interested in it, then buy it now. It's 99 cents on Amazon and iTunes. Check out my Twitter, twitter.com/JustinRYoung to do it. I'm sure we'll have links up on nightattack.tv within moments. So it's really funny.
The cover's amazing, by the way.
Yeah, this Chet Page character is like, imagine everything that kind of tweaks you about people like Tim Ferriss.
Yeah.
Like where you just kind of think like, well, you're a little bit of a smug, entitled douche.
Yeah.
And then make it all of the person. Wow. Make it 100% of the person.
Wow.
There is. I mean, I can't confirm or deny, but there is a chapter that has a writing style that seems very similar to Tom Merritt, and it is one of my favorites.
Really? Okay. Great.
So go ahead and check it out.
All right.
It's on my iPad, my iPad 2 right now. So I can't wait to listen.
Great.
Read.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So and also, unlike last time that we did with the Diamond Club, where we were like, hey, we'll just like, you know, spend the $300 we make on a party, and then we made thousands and we had no idea what to do with it.
Yeah.
This time we know what we're doing with it. Everything is going to the World Builders charity.
Nice.
Or Heifer International. I forget. I know World Builders is Rothfuss's, you know, overlay on top of Heifer. So either one of the two, but it ultimately goes to the same project, which is to put livestock in the hands of people who need it most. It's a really, cool. Really, really good, like, make change tomorrow kind of cause, which is, I think, what a lot of very data-driven analytical people really are into, including myself. So
sure.
Go ahead and check it out. It is trolling the self-help genre for a good cause.
The photo of Chet is the best. I hate this guy, and he's not even real. That's the best part.
Well, he is real.
Well, there's a real guy.
Yes, yeah. That's...
Well, I mean by representation, yes. The name, the 12 things I learned before 25, yeah. Like all of this makes me hate him.
Yes.
And he's not even a real character. It's amazing.
No, he is. So, yeah, if you guys want to pick it up, then go ahead and do it. And please, today is the day that we want to kind of do a big bomb on it. So if you could help us out with a little social media spreading the word, then that would also be appreciated. I know I don't ask for that all that often, but this is definitely, especially with the charity component, I think it could be really fun if we do a big thing today.
Yeah, it should be huge. So everybody get in on it. Let's do this like we swept the awards. Let's just kill it.
Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Yeah,
that
I remember that.
We should there'd be another fun time to talk about that. But that was really rad.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, too. We'll do that next week. Have a safe trip wherever you're going today, Phoenix. And may it not be as hot as it looks in all the photos I'm looking at right now.
Yes. Love you, boys.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right. Well, Brian, that brings us to a point where I'm going to save these emails for tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay. And that read, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of a beast. And I'm not supposed to even look at it, so I haven't looked at it. I just know.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, don't look at it then.
I've been avoiding it, so I haven't spoiled myself, but we'll do that tomorrow. Let's get out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. Our number is 801-471-0462. The humans are dead.
I just realized that somebody just pointed out in the chat room, it's T2T2 on the cover.
Oh, is that actually him?
That's actually T2T2.
T2T2, yeah. I don't hate you at all.
Yeah, no.
No, I like you, but what you've created here.
The character that you're representing is, yes.
That is really special.
Yeah, we love T2T2.
I love that. I love it on the wiki page. It says, the following two pages link to this file. Clench-a-butt and T2T2. What the crap is clench-a-butt?
Clench-a-butt.
Oh, it must be something they do. It's something they do on the show. Yeah, it's some segment they do on Niacetic. I haven't seen that. All right, that's it. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville. Those are all Twitter accounts you can follow as well. Tomorrow, Nicole, Tom, the usual Wednesday shenanigans. And I think that's it. Tom or Brian, do you have some music for us now?
I do. We're going to go out with a cover that's going to actually satisfy a couple of requests. John wrote in, said, on the night of April 17th, my wife and I will enjoy our fourth annual opening day at the Iowa Cubs. We look forward to this date all through the long winter. It heralds in the start of summer, cycling around town, great local beer, and long afternoons rooting for the home team. Mm. Please give us a tune that is 80s, up-tempo, slightly obscure, and clean enough to pump from my bike speakers. And then Greg Davey also wrote in, said, good morning, my stream sharing friends. Forgot to request this in time for my birthday in February, so any day would be wonderful. You've fulfilled my request the last 2 years with Eddie Vedder and Charlie Tuna, so I put this challenge to you. The Cult's She Sells Sanctuary takes me off this troublesome planet for 3 minutes and change. I'm not sure what it is about this song. It's just healing. I feel like it could fly hearing it. Do you have a cover that can live up to that? If not, The Cult just rocks. Any cover by them will tickle me. And, he says that he's also been around since day one, been slurping up the Johnson since the ELR days.
Oh, right.
Exactly. Yeesh. Flow with the Scojo till it's time to go, though. Greg.
Great.
All right. So two people also requesting The Cult, She Sells Sanctuary. How about this version right here by Distance from their 2006 album, Broken Gold? This one, it's great. You're going to love it. It's The Cult's She Sells Sanctuary by the Seashore, and it's performed by Distance.
Sounds good to me. I will neither take plums nor leave plums, and we'll see you guys tomorrow for a whole new episode of The Morning Stream. Thanks. See you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
The older a man grows, the more likely he'll face a flaccid penis.
Ugh.